South Korea suggests an easing of sanctions as it meets leaders from the North.
We were just beginning to see all sorts of joint ventures a decade ago, so the potential is there.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. For the first time in 2 years, North and South Korea are holding talks. Last year, the North fired 23 missiles, some they claimed could hit the U.S. South Korea is preparing to host the Winter Olympics next month, and a foreign ministry spokesman said they might ease some of the bilateral sanctions on the North ahead of those games.
North Korea's participation in the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics is needed to promote the Peace Olympics. We'll consider lifting sanctions against North Korea if it is necessary to facilitate the visit of a North Korean delegation, under close consultation with the UN Sanctions Committee, the United States and relevant countries.
Aidan Foston-Carter is a research fellow in modern Korea at Leeds University in the UK. He says the North and South used to be big trading partners and could be again.
There is all sorts of potential mutual benefit. There used to be one, just one, special economic zone. It was supposed to be the harbinger for more. It's called Kaesong, just across the border, the demilitarized zone in North Korea. 55,000 North Korean workers working for 100 or so South Korean small companies. That got shut down pretty abruptly by the former president, Conservative Park Geun-hye, after North Korea's nuclear tests early in 2016. The South Korean government, which is now left-leaning, had a report, just issued a report saying that was all done illegitimately. The small businesses, which lost their livelihoods, would love to see, you know, the opportunity to once again use cheap, diligent North Korean labor. However, there are the small matter of United Nations sanctions. So North Korea is now set about by much tighter UN sanctions, and it's far from clear whether it would even be legal, if it, we ever got to that point, it'd be somewhere down the road, for this joint venture to be reopened.
South Korea's government is certainly open to some kind of economic relationship in future. What about the North? Are they looking for a kind of economic benefit from these talks?
North Korea always has its hand out. North Korea will always take your money if it can find a way to do so without obligation. They certainly, I mean, they've lost an uncertain amount, but some tens of millions of dollars annually since the Kaesong zone did close. I mean, there could be all kinds of mutual benefit. The current South Korean president, Moon Jae-in, when he was campaigning, talked about a North-South Commonwealth, the kind of thing that was we were just beginning to see all sorts of joint ventures a decade ago. So the potential is there.
Aidan Foston-Carter. Let's do the numbers. Here in Britain, inflation may be at a six-year high, but data out today show consumers put more of their budgets into clothing, food and online purchases at the end of 2017 than they did the year before. Meanwhile, the dollar weakened against the yen after the Bank of Japan scaled back government bond purchases. Now, Singapore is one of the world's biggest oil refining hubs and the biggest marine refueling stop. Police there say 17 men have been arrested after a major fuel theft at Royal Dutch Shell's biggest crude refinery. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani reports.
The 17 male suspects were arrested by police on Sunday in a raid and included amongst them some Shell employees, according to a Shell Singapore spokesperson. The international oil firm had reported the theft in August last year. During the raid, more than $2 million were recovered, as was a 12-ton oil tanker. On Tuesday, a court in Singapore charged 11 of the men, 9 of whom are employees of Shell, with the misappropriation of fuel. Shell Singapore says it's fully cooperating with the police in the ongoing investigations and that it anticipates a short delay in supply operations in Bukom. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
In 3 weeks, President Trump delivers his State of the Union address and the world will be watching. Will he announce an aggressive crackdown on trade? Robert Zoellick, former U.S. trade representative and former president of the World Bank, has been speaking to the BBC's Nick Robinson.
He launched investigations on a series of trade cases across different sectors, and a lot of those chickens are coming home to roost now. So he has to make decisions. He continues to want to play to an economic isolationist base.
Isn't he able to say that he's got the backing of the guys looking into this? The U.S. International Trade Commission said, and I quote, there is a substantial cause of serious injury to the domestic industry from, it happens that two cases coming up are about solar products and washing machines. So won't the president say, I'm just acting on the advice I'm getting?
there is injury. Competition creates injury. What you'll see with those cases is there's not a finding of unfairness. It's just that people have to adjust to competition.
So injury crudely means, yeah, they're better at doing it and Americans lose their job as a result.
Exactly right. So we'd like to buy some South Korean washing machines, but instead they only want us to buy US.
The big deal, you say, are these big trade deals. Now, he's already out of one of them, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but NAFTA is the real biggie.
Right. And he has authority to issue a notice that gives 180 days before withdrawal. He's played with the idea. There's pushback from the agricultural and other constituencies. Mexico's facing a difficult election. There's ways you could modernize NAFTA, but my reading of his proposals are fundamentally he's driven by a desire to eliminate the bilateral trade deficit with Mexico, which, as economists would tell you, you really can't do through a trade agreement. So I don't think his deal will be one that the Mexicans or Canadians can live with. So it's a big risk.
And the consequences will be felt not just by people in the United States, but throughout the world, in your view?
Well, I think, first off, at some point, you may have some reaction of financial markets because they tend not to like protectionism. So far, they've been trying to decide if the bark is worse than the bite. But also, it has implications for the world economy because the U.S. is so big.
Former U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zoellick, the State of the Union address January 30th. Finally, Thailand's prime minister has a new press strategy. He's installed a new life-size cardboard cutout of himself. If you want to ask questions on politics or conflict, he told journalists, ask this guy before he walked away from a news conference waving to them. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.